This is The Bookshelf on NHPR. I'm Peter Biello. Southern New Hampshire writer Joseph Herka is a careful observer of human behavior, especially morally dubious behavior, such as drug abuse, adultery, and deception. All these vices are easy to find in the stories in his new collection, Graceful Lies, which was published in August. Herka writes without judging these characters, but with empathy for them. And he joins me now to talk about Graceful Lies. Welcome, Joseph.
Thank you, Peter.
Let's start by digging into one of those behaviors I just mentioned, adultery. And that seems to be one of the most prevalent in this collection. And it's not all stories about adultery. I don't mean to paint the picture that way, but I wanted to start here. So what draws you to this subject?
I'm interested in, I would say, the imposition of society on primal behavior. I mean, as an example, I once saw a legislator in Massachusetts coming out of the state house saying very defiantly that gay marriage is not normal. And I thought at the moment, is marriage normal? Is it really that you stick two people together for the rest of their lives? Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but there's a lot of pressure on people to maintain that.
And it seems like that pressure is at the heart of the stories that do involve adultery, because these people are sort of satisfying that primal urge, but they also feel a lot of guilt about their behavior.
Yes, there's always that primal fight, and you feel so sad when you see people locked in these boxes.
How do you go about creating empathy for a character engaging in this kind of behavior?
Basically, what you want to do is be as truthful as you can about your characters. I mean, the object in the end is to write about a character in such a way that everybody can see themselves in that character. That's what makes a universal character. And so you have to be as honest as you can. Usually these things are coming from something autobiographical. So if you were in a situation where you felt like you didn't measure up and you should have done something more, you have to be truthful about that. You can't paint yourself as a hero. And then you put that into your characters.
You mentioned in the dedication to this book and the afterwards influence from a great writer, a Massachusetts writer, Louisiana writer perhaps too, Andre Debuse, and then also his son is a friend and mentor of yours. I have to say, I'm a huge fan of Andre Debuse, and I saw his influence most clearly in the title story. In that story, an overweight woman works hard to lose weight, and as she loses weight, she watches the relationship she has with men change. Your mentor, Andre Debuse, also wrote beautifully from the perspective of women. Is this story kind of an homage to him and his style?
It might be, because he certainly wrote about very similar characters. And I began writing that story, if you can believe it, 30 years ago in graduate school, and finished it really only recently. Sometimes stories take that long to be put together. Yes, I think a lot of Andre is in that story. It's really a story about the presence of miracles in people's lives and how we can miss them. In this case, with the character whose name is Penny, she's so involved in worrying about her weight, and I've been there too, I understand it, that she is unable to see the miracles that are there before her. And eventually she loses the weight, but she has still trouble mentally dealing with the problems that gave her early on. Again, about society and acceptance, very similar to the adultery thing.
So over the course of 30 years, did Andre Debuse and then his son, Andre Debuse III, give you advice on this story?
Young Andre, probably not. He did on some other stories, but the father certainly was giving me advice as I was writing this and three of the other stories in the book. There was actually one that I wrote as a result of Andre's accident. I'm not sure if you want to get into that with the show. He was helping some people who had hit a motorcycle, a guy who was drunk on a motorcycle, and he was helping them out. And he got hit by a car then himself and broke, there were 34 bones broken, and he lost his right leg. It was a very serious thing. So when he was in the hospital, he told me a story. He had wanted to buy a boat for his daughter, and I had advised him against it because it seemed to me that the price wasn't right. And in the hospital, when he finally woke up under morphine and all messed up, he said, "You know, Joe, you were right about that boat thing. It turned out to be a scam." And I wanted to say I told you so, but he was in such an awful condition that instead I told him a story about when I was a child and I'd been scammed for the first time. And he looked at me and he said, "Write that story."
And that was the story about the little boy in the submarine?
That's right. Yeah, the angry boy. And so I get emotional thinking about it, but I wrote that for him while he was in the hospital. So he directly influenced a lot of the book.
I wanted to talk about not just that story, but the stories in this collection that they stray from those vices that I talked about at the intro and go into the world of children where these little moments just get exploded with emotion. in that particular story, the little boy works so hard to save up money to buy this little toy submarine, and he sends the money to the magazine and gets a different toy in response, and he's just so angry. And it's a little thing. You put it in context of someone's whole life, not a big deal. But in that moment, man, it's really powerful.
Yeah, and, you know, that happened to me. The story is just autobiographical. It's exactly how it happened. And it's the first time I remember having the outside world cheat me, you know. And but when you think about it, kids are lied to through advertisements. I think it's something like 200,000 times by the time they're seven. I saw that statistic once. And this is an unfortunate thing that is happening in the world. And I think it happens with a lot of my characters, that they're constantly seeing this kind of deception out there in the world, and they're having to somehow deal with that.
Perhaps the last group of stories within this collection is the group about musicians. I was wondering what inspired you to write about musicians. Are you a musician?
I am. And again, those are quite autobiographical, the two. One is about a blues band that I worked with in Lawrence. They were called the Chase Street Rhythm Band, a wonderful band. They were great. And I fictionalized from some of their experiences. And the other one was I was a songwriter in Nashville for a while. And so I spent a lot of time on the buses with various people like Randy Travis and Willie Nelson. And I was writing songs in the back of the buses. I wasn't on their buses. I was in the entourage. I was a nobody, a songwriter in the back. But I learned a lot about that world and wrote those stories from that.
Joseph Herka, the author of the new collection of stories, Graceful Lies. Joseph, thank you very much.
Thank you, Peter.
And as bookshelf guests often do, Joseph Herka has provided us with a list of the five books on his bookshelf, and you can check those out at nhpr.org. And we've been hearing from listeners like you about the books piled high on their bookshelves. Megan from Epping, New Hampshire, wrote to us to recommend Bowery Boys, Our Fathers by Corey Levine, which she calls an exciting graphic novel for adults. She says, the book is set in the late 1800s in New York City. The story centers around union leader William McGovern, who is framed for murder once his union goes on strike. His son, Nico, works with his friends to free his father and bring justice to those who brought the wrongful charges. The story is sprawling and complex. Characters include politicians from Tammany Hall, the historic Red Shirt Gang, prostitutes, and street youth. It also gives a great picture of what life was like back then. Also, the artwork is terrific. Well, thank you for that recommendation, Megan, and thank you all for recommending to me The Girl on the Train. I took that recommendation from an NHPR listener and read it in a couple of days. Your recommendations help other readers find great books, so send them our way. Our email address, books@nhpr.org. This is The Bookshelf from NHPR. I'm Peter Biello. Thank you very much for listening.